Word of mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. This month marks the 200th anniversary of Napoleon's defeat at Waterloo. The fallen emperor was then exiled to St. Helena, a tiny British protectorate 1,200 miles off the South African coast. Napoleon lived out his days on the remote island he called this Cursed Rock and died there in 1821. Today, St. Helena remains one of the most inaccessible places on Earth. The only link to the outside world is a mail and supply boat that comes in from Cape Town every 3 weeks. That is until a British government-funded airport opens in the spring of 2016. The filmmaker Dieter Dasuarte made a short film about life on the island for the BBC. He's currently working on a feature-length documentary. And Dieter, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you.
To get an idea of how isolated St. Helena is, it's 1,200 miles from the South African coast, 1,800 miles from Brazil, so very much out there in the middle of the Atlantic, and now even more isolated than it was in the past. Is that true?
Yes, it's much more isolated now, because I think early on it was really at the beginning of colonization, and lots of ships used to pass by as they stocked up on food and traveled on. And it was a very important place, like, that connected the United Kingdom to the rest of the world. But since the collapse of the East India Company, when it was handed over to the British Crown Company, and also since the opening of the Suez Canal, ships had no reason anymore to pass by St. Helena, so it's been much more pushed back into isolation in the last 100 years.
How did you get to St. Helena?
Well, I traveled on 3 occasions to St. Helena. So there's 2 ways to travel to St. Helena. One way is to fly to Cape Town, and from Cape Town, you then take a boat that takes 5 days, and then you arrive. And that ship leaves, as you said, almost once a month. The other way to get there is an opportunity. There's 10 passenger tickets with the British military flying to Ascension Island. And from there, you can take the boat as well, which kind of makes a round trip. It goes from Cape Town to St. Helena to Ascension Island, and then back to Cape Town again. And the journey from Ascension Island is 2.5 days. But as there's only one flight a week to Ascension Island, it often is still faster to go via Cape Town.
How many people currently live there?
At the moment, there's about 4,500 people living there, and that's 4,000 St. Helenians, and there would be around 400 expatriates.
And they call themselves saints?
Yes, they do.
Tell us a little bit about their origins.
Well, their origins are mixed, because they are very much, there's Chinese roots, there's Malaysian roots, there's African roots, there's Scottish roots, Irish roots. It's a melting pot of all different kinds of cultures. Mm-hmm. But most of those cultures are not present anymore. As it is so small, the only culture that was able to kind of survive was almost the British one.
Yeah, so these people, many of them were sailors and settlers and slaves. I imagine when the East India Company pulled out, a lot of people pulled out. What's happened to the population of the island?
Well, after the East India Company left, I think a lot of people who would have had money, in a sense, would have left, as there was not much more for them to do there anymore, as less and less ships were coming. And I think over the years, it was only the people who couldn't leave that were left behind, really.
So it was declared a British dependent territory in 1981. How much do these saints rely on Britain?
Oh, they rely on it very heavily. For me, it's always been very obvious that for a long time it has been a colony. Although there were no indigenous people, it was still very much quite an oppressive place, in a sense, where it was ruled by the governor. For a long time, there was not really a council. Since I think the 80s, there's been a local council who decides most things. But there's still a governor that needs to be British-born on the island. And not only that, but also in terms of aid, there's always been quite an importance to the United Kingdom. They cannot support themselves financially. So there's a real sort of sense that they are dependent financially upon the United Kingdom for maintaining the island and sort of all basic needs.
What does it feel like being on the island of St. Helena? It's a setup for a place that's living in the past.
Yes, definitely. And although I always am very cautious with this idea of living in the past, but you do feel that time sort of has slowed down on St. Helena a little bit. And you see a lot of sort of quaint British traditions, as the Boy Scouts passing by every week, and a lot of things that British people could feel nostalgic to in a way. It's also strange, obviously, that they don't have any mobile phones. So there's no easy way to contact anybody. You rely on landlines again, and that's supposed to be changing. Your internet is quite slow, very costly, and you do really feel the sense of once the ship leaves that you're stuck. There's no more getting off, and that can feel really strange. I remember before leaving there, shooting a film, I was so worried of forgetting some equipment, because once you're there, I can't go get it anywhere. And the biggest issue comes in, obviously, in healthcare. What happens if you get seriously ill? And although they can treat a lot in the local hospital, but there are certain things that they can't deal with, brain tumors, heart surgery. You know, you need to be sent off to Cape Town for treatment, and then you still have to wait for that ship.
Right, and that's a five-day trip right now. About to be, if everything goes according to plan, a new airport there, which will make it a five-hour trip from Cape Town. In 2011, the British government announced it's going to be investing in an airport on the island. So what is Britain hoping for by putting in an airport?
For it to become a not-so-financially dependent territory. I think that would be sort of the main motivation. It's also obviously to help the island itself. But as at the moment, the British government invests £25 million a year into St. Helena, it's quite a lot of money for such a small island. And I think there's some sort of aim that they say, well, we give you all this money now, and then over the course of 10 years, every year, we're going to give you a bit less money. And the idea is that you can develop an economy around tourism.
So they're investing right now about $400 million US in this airport. Any other kind of tourism infrastructure investments being made there?
That has been a difficulty. Slowly it's becoming like they are starting to build some hotels, and also some local people have started to invest in building some things, buying fishing boats that mm-hmm. they can take tourists on. But it's still all very uncertain because nobody's sure if any tourists will really show up. I think in the long term, they're aiming to get 30,000 tourists a year, which is a lot more than what they have now. But the infrastructure is not really ready at the moment. And there's a lot of ideas, good ideas around a sort of more sustainable future for the island. But naturally, it all comes with a lot of risks. And they need foreign investment to come in for the island to be able to grow. But what kind of foreign investment do you take upon, and how much choice will you have?
So the government is making this big decision and this big investment. How do people who live on the island feel? Their way of life is about to change, it sounds like, dramatically if they get 30,000 tourists a year.
Well, it is dramatic. And I think a lot of people can't also still imagine maybe quite yet like how it is going to be like. And potentially it won't change that much, but then that's another big problem because then there's still no employment on the island. The main problem as well at the moment is that wages are very low, and people who don't have that much find no other way than maybe having to move offshore and get a job for the American military on Ascension Island or on the Falkland Islands where the British military is. And obviously, tourism can help people to develop a better standard of living, but it's also a big risk because that peace and tranquility that so many saints value, that sense of home and a home that is not necessarily linked to a commercial home, changes as well.
Well, you know, for a number of former British colonies or even British protectorates, there's a long shadow of colonialism. There are big divisions in ethnicity or race or in class. Does that exist on the tiny island, St. Helena?
I think it exists like anywhere else in the world, in a way. It exists less and smaller, but it's still present in some way. And you will always have the people who are a bit less well off, and also due to family relations won't have had so many chances. And there are a few families who've always been sort of well-established families, who've been there quite a long time, who own a lot of property. The tensions are less visible, but in a way they are definitely still present. It's really hard living on such a small island in such a small community because everybody knows everything about mm-hmm. everybody. Mm-hmm. And that becomes really challenging because you feel that although everybody's very friendly and quite sort of helpful, it's also really hard because you know people are easily talking about you or know what you did or who you slept with or how your job is going or what you did wrong at the job. And people are just kind of fearful as well about speaking up about what's wrong in their lives and what's not going well. There's, I think, called an Australian concept, which they call the tall poppy syndrome, which is the idea as well when you try to do something different, in a small community like this is very difficult because other people try and pull you down.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the islanders that you did interview told you that St. Helena loses isolation when the airplane lands. The magnitude is going to be distinct. What do you think that change is going to mean in 5 years down the road?
In 5 years down the road, I hope that the island and the people living there will have found a way to deal with their complex past and sort of feel more free and openly to speak with one another. And also I hope that they will be economically a bit more settled, but not exploited.
Well, Dieter, thank you very much for speaking with us today.
You're welcome.
Dieter Deswarte, he's a filmmaker. He's based in London and he's currently working on a feature-length documentary film about the tiny island of St. Helena, which is about to get an airport and hopefully, or not, a booming tourist industry. The working title of the film is Saints.